Yeah, I hear like the locals, they are like vitamin D deficient.
What?
Yeah, because they're not getting out, especially the summertime. Nobody's getting out because it's so freaking hot here.
That's crazy though. Like it's literally sunny 95% of the time and you're vitamin D deficient. Yeah. Welcome back to another episode of the Board with Nelly podcast. Edgar is my guy. I haven't seen you in a year and a half. A lot has changed. A lot has happened. How are you feeling coming off a win? How is life?
Feeling good. All great here in Dubai. Pretty much training camp mode. We went straight from the fight. We went with my team here to Dubai and still living in a hotel. Living with the
why team. Hotel why don't you have a apartment or something?
I'm working on that. I'm gonna be moving in from the 1st of December, and until then it was hotel full training camp mode.
So is that all you do? You just train all day every day?
Basically, yes. Of course, after the fight it's a little bit different. It's not like 24/7, we are taking it easy on our body, on our mind, and everything. It's not like a fight camp, but still training.
Well, you were in a war. You were in a six-round war, right? Five rounds?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
after that kind of fights, you have to take it off. You know, I was calling to my main coach. He wasn't in my corner this time because all of the, crazy COVID restrictions and everything, he didn't have a vaccine, so he couldn't enter US. And I was calling after the fight him as well. He said, just take a rest, both physically and mentally, after a six-round fight like that. And I tried my best to take a rest.
Do you find it hard? I know some fighters find it extremely the hardest part for them is to not do anything. Do you find it difficult to just chill and take it easy?
Well, to not do anything... it is hard. For the first week, it's like, okay, you enjoy it because you can like sleep extra. You don't have to do anything at all. For a week or so, it's fine. But after that, it's kind of gets boring. You want to do something. So if it's not training, you have to do. You have to find something else besides that to do as well. Otherwise, I don't know. For me, at least, if I don't do anything for the first week, like I said, it's going to be fine. But after that, I'm just going to go mad, just going to go crazy.
Yeah. Have you ever had a long injury where you literally couldn't exercise and couldn't do anything? What's the craziest injury you've had?
Thank God I didn't have like any serious injuries and everything. Very long time ago, maybe, I don't know, it was 10 years or even more. I had some kind of injury in my knee before, very long time ago, and I wasn't training. I was using crutches for like a month or so, but it was hard. And that was the moment when I switched from like Olympic karate style. I switched to like full contact, not karate, but I started to train more boxing. I started to train kickboxing, so. That kind of break actually like energized me and gave me new motivation. I switched like to not a completely different sport, but like different kind of sports. Yeah, like I said, boxing, kickboxing, and everything besides Olympic karate.
I find it very difficult as someone that's done athletics my whole life since I was a kid. Maybe 6 years I played football, I played basketball. I can never take more than a day off, like of doing nothing, like physical activity. My mind gets foggy, but it's not even that so much that, you know, my body needs to move. It's just my mind feels like goo or feels like it's gum. I don't know. Explain it.
It's because it's already a habit. You're like,
you're right.
Just to wake up and go to training, do something. And, but you cannot train all the time. You cannot like, cause anyways, training, working out is a stress for your body, stress for your mind. It's like you cannot all the time sharpen the sword, just sharpen, 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 just gonna break. Sometimes you have to rest as well. The same thing goes for your body as well.
How long did you rest after you lost the title? How was that that time after that?
I didn't rest much after that fight.
Really?
That loss, I didn't rest much. I was in the gym maybe all already the next week doing something. I was like working on. I was so pissed at myself. I was pissed at the referee that it stopped it that easily, so fast. And because
you thought it was an early stoppage? You thought it was way too early?
I thought it was a little bit early. It was because it was a title fight and main event and everything with that. Usually that kind of fights you have to give like extra time, especially for a champion. And just in overall for a main event fight, a title fight, I think you have to give an extra time for the athletes. Like, for example, this fight, when Adesanya was fighting Pereira.
That's what I was about to ask you. Yeah, that's what I was just about to lead into. Did you think he needed more time?
A little bit early as well. Like, if he's going to go down, let him, like, go down and then stop the fight. Otherwise, there are, like, too many questions. What would happen? Because he wasn't out. He was there. He was standing. Yeah, he got rocked. But he wasn't knocked out, so.
It's such a tough split second decision for a judge or a ref to make that. Do you feel? I mean, yeah, there is accountability obviously on the ref. It's his job, but it's also an extremely difficult thing. If you mess up and you let a guy get hit too many times, you're going to be equally as blamed. So you're almost doomed if you don't. You're doomed if you do, kind of.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And refing is not an easy thing, especially at high level and everything. This past weekend, I was reffing some just regular kids fights. They were like,
yeah,
there was competition in the gym here, and I was like reffing. And it's not that easy, actually. You have to be there. You have to like take care of them, like you said, you know. Especially for the kids as well. You like you don't want to be so that they get some kind of injury or they get hurt and everything. So We all are human, so we make mistakes. And of course, even the best referees, I think on that fight, Mark Goddard was the ref as well. He stopped the fight. And in the end, it's all about fighter safety and health. And they have to get back to their families and just be normal human.
Yeah, there's so many different angles from that perspective. First of all, as a ref, you're a split second from making a really good call and a split second from making a really bad call. Then from an organizational perspective, you have an organization obviously wants to protect its assets. You know, Dana White doesn't want to see Izzy get six extra shots to the head. You have Izzy's well-being, his family, right? You have Pereira who would love an earlier stoppage. The less to risk there is in the fight, the better, right? So there's so many elements that play in that millisecond of time.
And there's also business as well behind everything, all of that. So I think it's...
Yes, let's set up a rematch. This is a more interesting fight, right?
Yeah. We can do rematch now. And it's a perfect fight for Izzy as well. If he's going to take somebody else, like, I don't know, Hamza Chimaev or any wrestler at all, it's going to be really tough for him. So this is the perfect ending for him. And if he's going to take the next... If he can pick... The next fight, I think it definitely needs to be a rematch with Izzy.
Yeah, this is what I was going to ask you.
If you can even call it a rematch, because he's 3-0 against Izzy.
Yeah, right. That's crazy. But I was going to ask you, do you feel like you deserved a rematch right after your loss as a defending champ and defending the belt so long?
About Izzy?
No, your fight, your when you lost, did you feel like you deserved a rematch right off the bat?
I was thinking like that, yeah. I was thinking like that. I deserved a rematch immediately because I was the first champion in this organization overall, and I defended the title many, many times. I thought I deserved it, but As you saw, immediately after that, in my opinion, he was running away because he knew what was coming, that I'm gonna come up with the conclusions and just get bigger and better. And he was running away already, like calling out champion from 75. And how can you make a like super fight if the champion hasn't defended the title?
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's almost gonna be 1 year since that fight. A couple of more months left, I guess, and he's still not defending the title. So, but anyways, it is what it is. They gave me a different opponent, another Brazilian who was fighting before in UFC. After that, he came to Karate Combat, got an easy
from Machida's camp.
Yeah, from Machida's camp, and
yeah, very tough opponent.
Everything worked out. It was a perfect fight for Karate Combat. It was perfect fight for Machida's team, for my team, and in the end, everything worked out like that.
Yeah, you feel good about that fight? You feel the results and going into the sudden death round was justified? You feel it was that close, or did you feel like you had the edge? Because the rounds were kind of tight. Like the last two rounds, you were dominant. I don't know about the first two.
It was close. It was very close. When the fifth round finished, I immediately went up to my corner. I said, like, just in case, get ready. Like, massage out my arms, give me the water, and let's not celebrate it yet. And because it could be an extra round. And that's how it was. I was already mentally and physically prepared for it. When I was training, when I was in fight camp, I was all the time doing six rounds, like six intense rounds with fresh partners and everything. So I was ready for it. And but after that, when I was watching fight after the event, I thought that actually judges could give me a unanimous victory after the five rounds. After that, I thought maybe the extra round wasn't that needed, but...
How did you score it? How did you score the fight?
At this moment, of course, I got the fourth and fifth round.
Yeah.
And I believe I won the first or second round. I cannot remember at this moment.
Yeah. But I think the ones that you won, I felt like you won it more. You the rounds you won significantly better than the rounds he won. If they want to go that route.
Yeah. Well, it was like more dominant, more aggressive.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah.
More damage. Yeah. But from the another stand of point, I'm glad that they gave the extra round and there was no more doubts about who won the fight.
Right, yeah, and once it came to, I mean, your gas tank is on another level, clearly, and that showed in the sudden death round. How often does it go into sudden death rounds in Karate Combat?
I think not that often. It was a couple of times before. One title fight and at the bantamweight division, a 61 kg, went to a sudden death round, but one of the guys didn't come just out to the sudden death round because some kind of injury or any other thing. And maybe another fight went to the sudden death, but this was the first time that it went all of the full six rounds.
It's such a good thing for the sport. I mean, that was the best way to end that card. It's the main event. You're going sudden death. It's Boss Rutan, Wonder Boy Thompson commentary, Machida camp. You had Roy Jones Jr. watching. I mean, it was a spectacle, really.
Yeah, and the arena and the venue just exploded.
Yeah.
When the judges said it's going to be extra round, sudden death round, and just everybody exploded there. The energy, the adrenaline there was so
great. Yeah, you felt it.
Yeah, I felt it, 100%.
Okay, sorry. I was asking you, what are you doing from here on out? What's the game plan? You're calling out the champ. You want this fight as soon as possible. You want to get your belt back as soon as possible.
I feel the next fight for me is the title fight. Either it's the champion or either it's somebody else for the title. Because I feel he's not gonna compete anytime soon. That's how I.
Why not?
I don't know. That's the feeling. I and my team. are having, and let's see what's gonna work out. Now Karate Combat's gonna have an event December 17, and I hear some rumors and talks that next year they wanna go to Vegas and put a good fight card there. So I'm staying ready, and probably if the next fight is gonna be, it's gonna be in February. And no matter what, who's gonna be the opponent, I think I'm gonna compete, and I'm pretty sure it's gonna be for the title.
Did that loss kind of lift the weight off your shoulders? Do you feel a bit, I don't want to say relieved, but a little bit relieved because you were defending the title for so long? Do you feel like there's a new motivation now, a new spark, and that loss was kind of the trigger for that?
I wouldn't say it was a relief. But I would say like that, like you said, it was a new motivation. I wasn't that like focused. I wasn't that motivated because I already beat that guy, and I beat him with a devastating KO. He couldn't get up for 10 or 15 minutes. And I was thinking like that I wasn't like 100% focused, like I said before. And I already knew the game plan, how to beat him and everything. I knew that he got better and everything. I knew that I got better. But when I went in there, I wasn't like 100% focused, like I said before, and my senses wasn't there. Because it was already another opponent. I was already lapping these guys.
Right.
But now, after that loss, it gave me a new motivation. It gave me a lot of motivation, and I'm back.
We were talking about next challenge for you. You were saying you think he might be dodging the fight. Then we were talking about the next event being in December, in the new year, big Vegas card. We were talking about like how does it feel to finally have a loss on your record? You weren't saying you were relieved. You were just saying now you have a new motivation. Are you taking that motivation into the new year?
I have to take it. I cannot stop, and I want to get my revenge back on him as well, because I feel anyways that night everything was perfect for him. He won that fight, but I believe anyways that I can beat him, and probably if we fight 10 times, I'm gonna beat him those 9 times. It was
his 9 10 times,
his one time. Like I said before, no excuses, no nothing. He's a great fighter, comes from a great team and everything. He has competed in MMA as well, I think undefeated there. And that's not just a random guy. He's a really, really good guy. So, and if they're going to make this trilogy fight, it's going to be a massive fight for Karate Combat.
How was COVID for you? How was training, and where were you at? Were you in Dubai? How was the last year or so? Because we haven't talked in a while.
At least COVID for me, and it was all good, all perfect for me and my family. Most of the time I was here in Dubai. That's why I'm still here, and I started to do training camps in Dubai since everything started. Because this was the only place which was open for tourism, open for people. So many people came in, and I came also 2020. I was flying in here, and we wanted to train with my training partner was preparing for Olympics. I was preparing to defend my belt, and everything was closed in our country, in Latvia. All of the gyms were closed. You were not supposed to train. You were not supposed to go to the gym. You can go to a pub, but you cannot go to a gym.
Crazy. Yeah. And, crazy.
So there were so many restrictions. Even now it's okay, but even like the previous this winter, I guess I wasn't there, but still all of the You had to have a vaccination to get into the gym, to get into the mall and everything.
That's crazy.
I want to say like COVID time was perfect for me. I found out Dubai. I have a new team. I have I gained a lot of experience, a lot of new things for me. So it's all about how do you look on like challenges, how do you look on hardships. Everything comes from your mind. It's all about your mindset, how you look on things.
What else do you like about Dubai? Obviously, you plan to stay there probably for a while. What else is appealing about Dubai, obviously, besides the COVID stuff and the lack of restrictions?
Well, now there is no restrictions here as well. Before that, when the whole world was shut down, they kept tourism going. The only thing you had to have was mask everywhere, not in the gyms, but you had to walk around with a mask and everything. Other than that, the weather now, winter time here is perfect. Summertime is a lot nicer back home in Europe and Latvia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
55 degrees is so crazy.
But too much.
Nobody's going outside here. They're just like in their houses, in the hotel. They go back down to the basement, get into the AC car and go to the mall where this is so cold. So basically, yeah.
That's an interesting life. Lack thereof.
Yeah, I hear like the locals, they are like vitamin D deficient. Because they're not getting out, especially the summertime. Nobody's getting out because it's so freaking hot here.
That's crazy though. Like it's literally sunny 95% of the time and you're vitamin D deficient. Yeah. Wow. I was going to ask you this as a kind of a random question. Do you think karate combat needs kind of these older fighters potentially to step in and take on a fight to draw more awareness to the sport? From me watching personally, I love all the fights going on. I don't necessarily know all the names or whatever, but I enjoy the sport itself. But for the casual to get involved in the sport, does a guy like Machida need to come in, or Wonder Boy, or GSP, or insert a bit older guy, any of them, and put on a show in the sport?
It's hard to tell. Well, maybe, yeah. If Machida would fight either GSP or Thompson, a lot of people would tune in, especially the older guys who are following the Machida time and GSP time.
That would be insane.
Yeah.
That would be crazy. That would be absolute. Like, that would be Vegas card, and I think that would sell out. Like,
that would be crazy for arena. Us. That would be crazy for
us.
But
yeah.
But for the people who are tuning in only since McGregor time, they don't know. Actually, they don't know what is GSP, what is Machida and stuff like that. But like a lot of promotions is doing like the same thing, like bare knuckle fighting and Bellator and any other promotion, and like just taking all of those names out of the UFC, like Yoel Romero.
Yeah.
He's competing. Yeah. And where he's competing?
Curtis Blades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe we need to get some YouTubers or something, right? Maybe we need to get you on the show.
Keep those YouTubers out of here, man. Those guys are the worst. I'd have zero of them. No, is there a dream matchup that you'd like to see in the sport? Because to me, the Machida GSP one is interesting. Obviously, GSP, I think, a little younger, right? And with wrestling, GSP probably wins that fight. But in karate combat, I think that's a... Yeah. That's a much closer fight.
Exactly. I would love to see.
Is there a dream matchup for you? Anyone else?
Yeah, not GSP, Machida, and what else could we see? I don't know.
I would like a little tournament, kind of like how Bellator does it. Like a $1 million tournament, I think, right? That's what they did?
Yeah, I would compete for that as well.
Yeah, of course.
Why not?
Have you ever? Have you thought about other organizations? No.
Well, at the moment, I re-signed a new contract for them for 2 years. So
gotcha.
For the next 2 years or three fights, I guess I'm gonna be still with them, and after that, you never know.
Have they talked to you about how they plan to grow the sport?
Competing in the MMA before as well, and I still have a pretty good record, 16-4. So. Anything besides that, besides karate combat, if I'm going to go after that to compete again in MMA, probably it's going to be only UFC, because I'm not really interested to compete in any other promotion. I don't know, PFL, Bellator, it doesn't like really get to me. Only the PFL, if I'm going to go there, or some organization like that, it's just going to be for the money, because they are like, you can get $1 million just competing in some kind of tournament.
A tournament, yeah. Is there still any big organizations out of Japan? I don't know if there's anything still going on.
FC, yeah. But,
yes, yeah.
They're doing like a show once 2 months or something like that. The Pride days, Pride FC days are far away. And it's
sadly,
it's not the same like before. They're like K1 days, like Pride FC days. Yeah, like you said, sadly, because one of my dreams when I started this, of course, it was to compete into the UFC. And I also, when I was like coming up, when I was training and starting MMA, I was watching Pride FC. After that, it was Dream there, and would be awesome to fight also in Japan.
You haven't fought in Japan yet, ever?
No, I never have fought in Japan. I was supposed to fight actually in karate combat in Japan when they were trying to do an event, but I guess it didn't go through.
There hasn't been any events for karate combat in Japan. There hasn't been any UFC either, right, in Japan?
UFC was in Japan, I think, a couple of times in Japan.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I feel like it's been only like once or twice, but I feel like that's a crazy place to fight in.
It was maybe once or twice just in Japan, but it is a crazy place. It's it's a different culture there. Everybody sitting quiet. Somebody does a sweep. Somebody does some kind of technical jiu-jitsu move. They're just like this, clapping.
It's a tennis match.
Yeah,
it's like tennis. I've been to Japan. Japan to me is a different planet in the nicest way possible. I mean this because the people were so nice and friendly, and the lights of the city, how clean it is for how many people live there, how well everyone's dressed. It's like you step into another planet once you get off the plane in Tokyo.
Even now, look at the Japanese fans at the World Cup at football, at soccer.
Yes.
Right?
They beat Germany, the biggest upset in probably last 50 years for them as a nation, and they're cleaning up the stadium. It's insane.
The stadium, and after that, the football players, their locker room and everything. It's a different culture.
Do you know that when have you been to Japan yet?
No, I haven't.
No? So when you go to Japan, you land and you look at, let's say, Tokyo Station, where you have a lot of these metro systems, and there's no garbage anywhere. It's spotless. But then you look around and you realize there's no trash cans anywhere.
Yeah.
So the culture is, if you have trash, you put it in your pocket, you go home and you throw it out when you get home. You don't litter.
Nice.
There's no other place like that. I've been to like 20 different countries. I've never seen anything like that. Or you go to the park and there's signs where it says you can't walk on the grass. And every blade of grass is cut perfectly in the park.
They're obsessed. They're just upset.
They're obsessed.
Yeah.
They're upset. Okay, what else is...
That's why I want to go to Japan as well, not just because of fighting, but because of this. It's so clean. It's a different culture. I want to train there. I want to know people, how they're living there and everything. Why not? Yeah.
Why not? Have you trained in Thailand? Have you been to Thailand?
Yeah. I was living before in Thailand as well. That was one of the first places where I started my training camps in Thailand. Thailand is nothing like Japan. It's far away from
me. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Place. You have to be very, very careful there. But also a different culture, different people, and just overall, like the main population being so nice to everybody there.
Before you cut out, we were talking about Thailand and what was it like in living in Thailand. I want to talk more about that because I've been to Thailand as well, and it's another place where it's a completely different world, but in a complete opposite way to Japan. How is living in Thailand?
Well, for me, it was everything was perfect because I was just basically training there. I was training twice a day. I was the last time I was there like for 9 months or something like that. So basically, I was just training and enjoying the weather, enjoying the beaches and everything. But I know a lot of people have bad experience with partying around and all of the crazy stuff. I haven't been there, but I have heard a lot of things about it, and it sounds really crazy, like really crazy. I don't want to even talk about it, how crazy it is. But...
Have you gone to a kickboxing event in Thailand? In Bangkok specifically?
I mean, just some random Muay Thai fights there.
Muay Thai fights. Did you go to one where they literally, like the event, for the one I went to, it was, we paid $15 and we were front row, first of all.
Yeah.
And the fights start and it's kids that are like 12, maybe 10 to 14 age. And then they works their way up to all the way to like grown men, professionals. Did you go to one of those events?
That's how they start. They start them young.
I guess that's crazy. I didn't know it was that early.
I guess you have to choose. They have no other option but to make money like that. You're a Muay Thai fighter, or I don't know what was. Either you have to choose.
What do you do?
Muay Thai fighter, or either you're a lady boy, or I don't know, some gang member. Because
right,
it's crazy. What do you do? Why is it like with these like crazy people there? And Thailand is like specifically known for this.
I don't know, man. But when I saw the first ladyboy, I realized how many of them there actually were. Because up until that point, honestly, I wasn't really paying attention. But when I saw I noticed the first one, my eyes just like opened up. And like I looked around, and there was like. All half of them were ladyboys. My God, this is insane. How did I not notice this before?
Or even more. Yeah, probably the ladies that you were like thinking they look like really like women and everything. They're taking it to the next level, I guess, with all of the surgery.
Yeah. Jokes aside, if I had one too many drinks, honestly, I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd be able with some bad lighting. I don't know if I'd be able to to recognize.
God forbid that, man.
That experience for me was kind of insane, because the evening starts, you get front row tickets, so you're getting like blood on you, and you're watching like a 12-year-old knock out another 12-year-old while there's grown men in the corner like yelling and screaming and smoking and gambling.
Yeah.
It felt like something out of a movie when I was there. I didn't feel like it was a real moment, but I still remember it so vividly.
Exactly. Yeah, they're just screaming, putting Thai all everywhere, smoking and all.
Smoking in the stadium. Yeah.
Even in the corner as well.
In the corner, yeah. And in the breaks, like the guys just take so sick. I remember this event. It's crazy.
It's normal for them. It's normal.
That's
part of their culture, and I don't know. Maybe they have to stay like that. You cannot see that anywhere else in the world. And
I was so happy I witnessed it.
Some Muay Thai fights. Why not?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, I was so happy I witnessed it. There was another thing that happened that on that card or whatever, that event, that was super memorable. So at one point, once it started getting up to like 18 to 25 year old range, this random like white guy comes out of nowhere and he looks like a karate kid. Like he has the thing. He starts doing a dance. You know how they do a dance before the fight? And then another guy comes out, obviously a local from Thailand. Everyone's cheering. Everyone's booing the white guy. And the fight starts. They're trading punches, whatever. The white guy does a spinning back fist, knocks out the Thailand guy out cold, like flat. They have to bring a stretcher on.
Yeah.
The stadium goes dead silent. Even the people gambling, these fucking degenerates smoking, yelling, silence for like a minute. Because they thought this white guy, after he does a dance, bows. And I just thought I saw a movie. I'm like, this needs to be like, someone needs to write this down and turn this into a movie. Maybe I'll have to do
nobody
it.
Nobody was expecting that. Probably.
No.
All of them were gambling to the Thai guy, to the local guy.
And to the local guy, yeah.
And they're not used to like techniques like that, spinning back fist, spinning back kick and techniques like that. It could surprise you.
Yeah, I want to know. I should have, at the time I wasn't thinking, I should have asked for that guy's backstory. I want to know what he's doing in Thailand. Well, how's he just knocked out a local who was clearly the favorite? It was crazy. It was something out of
probably came just a tourist there and had few I don't know, few trainings there, just
a few drinks.
Maybe.
A few drinks, and then he just said, I'll fight whoever, I don't care.
Yeah, why not?
All right, we're coming to the conclusion of a very messy podcast because we lost a lot of signal. Is there anything else that you're kind of doing, working on, that you're excited for in the future? Obviously, a big year ahead for you as you try to reclaim your title. Anything else that you're doing?
Well, I'm working on my Screevers Karate. We're expanding. We have a school in Latvia, in India, and we're now working on bringing Screevers Karate to Dubai, because Dubai gave me a lot of things when I was able to train and compete here. And I want to give back with my knowledge, with my own school as well here.
Beautiful, man. Thank you so much. I'll leave links down below for hopefully that's part of your, you know, business keeps going just as well as your return to title form. Always a fun conversation. Hopefully we can do this in person one day. If you're ever in Europe, or if I ever go to Dubai, yeah. I would love to do it. I have a guest bedroom, no worries. You sleep like a baby here, all right? With good Wi-Fi and everything.
Perfect, sounds good.
Thanks again for your time.
Take care.